Being a very talented and gifted musician, you've been into a couple of competitions. What's something that people don't understand about these competitions, or they don't know about these competitions?
Every competition is kind of has its own little particular things, but a lot of the times there's certain rules sometimes that are kind of quirky. Like when I'm filming a video, a lot of times you have to, when you're applying for a competition, you have to look at all the rules, because there's certain requirements you have to meet. You have to sing this kind of repertoire. You have to sing in these kinds of languages. You have to sing, you can sing these arias, but only if they're in this language. Or you can sing this, you know, it's kind of very specific, you know. And then once you prepare the music for that, and then most of the time you have to send in like a video. Mm. And when you send in a video, they have different requirements, like, you know, separate the two songs. If you record two songs, but then separate them. So you put two videos on and then get an angle as close to you as possible. And then the pianist can only have original copies. Or if there's a page turner, you have to make sure they're not in the shot. Or you have to, it's like all these rules. Yeah. It's kind of a quirky thing that I don't think, it takes a lot of work actually to do kind of one of those things. But, and then you go, if you get called back most of the time. I mean, I did a competition where it was the Howl Leonard vocal competition was all online. It was the first vocal competition to be all online. And so I just submitted a video and that was it. They told me, you know, thank God that I was able to win first place, but they just tell me afterwards. But I just applied to a competition in Boston, the Classical Singers Music Competition. It's happening in Boston. It's like this convention of like, I don't know if anybody knows about like NAMM. I don't know if you've heard about NAMM. It's like, you know, all the best of the best, like musicians and music companies. Like, I mean, if you want to get a guitar, there's like 1,000, you know, guitar companies there, and saxophones and whatever you want, recording, all that. There's one of those things, but for classical musicians, and it happens every year.
Oh, wow. That's
awesome. This year's in Boston. And so I filmed a couple of videos just the other day to send over there, and they're going to, you know, send me an email. It's like, congrats, you've been accepted. Now I have to go there. If I get accepted.
Which you are.
we'll see.
Yeah.
And then I go, and then I have to sing for like 2 or 3 rounds.
Yeah.
Like the first round is like live. The judges, you know, what most people don't know about competitions too is that, like, it's funny being a musician, because you literally get on stage. And a lot of times when you do master classes or competitions, you're getting on stage for the purpose to be judged, you know. Most people don't like to be judged, but as a musician, you have to be vulnerable to that all the time. And that's why a lot of people, being a musician is hard. It's very hard emotionally. And it's very stressful, because you constantly hear either rejection or criticism. And it's just like, it's part of the culture. I mean, I'm going on that stage so that judges can write comments about me. It's like, oh, you did this right. I didn't like this. You did this. I think you could work on this and this. And then you go and you practice that for the next time. And hopefully you could win that time, you know? And that's kind of the scary part of it. Stand on stage. It's like just a little group of judges, and poof, the light turns on. It's your turn. Give us what you got, you know? And so that's kind of like the scary part of a competition. But
so the feelings when you perform, is there maybe less anxiety when doing a school performance versus a competition? Or would you say it's kind of like the same thing?
I guess it's kind of, depends what kind of performance, but if, I mean, like, let's say if we're going to compare the opera we're doing right now, you know, I was pretty anxious the first night for the opera. I was like making sure I knew my words. Before I went on stage, I was opening the book and I was like practicing my German. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then when I'm on stage, and then I ended up actually, since I was so worried about it, I ended up missing a couple of things. And then the next day, Sunday when we did it, I showed up and I was relaxed. I was like, you know what? I know this. And it's fine. And I did better on stage.
Oh, that's awesome.
That day. But if someone tells you that they have no nerves, then they're lying. If someone says, oh yeah, I don't get nervous, then they're lying. Every musician has, every performer always has some nerves, you know. That's like that, if you have nerves and you're dying of nervousness, like that's common, you know, and it actually helps if you have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of this rush, like, oh my God, I have to do good, oh my God, what am I gonna do? Then it helps you, you know. But and that helps a little bit for competitions. But I remember in one competition I did the Redlands Bowl, Redlands Bowl Young Artist Competition, which I also, thank God, I was able to win that too.
Oh wow, yeah.
But I remember like an hour before, 2 hours before, we went to go eat because we were starving. But it's like in about an hour and a half, like an hour and a half before the whenever I have to sing, I can't eat anymore. My body's just like, nope, shut down, punk, nope, nothing. And I was just like so nervous, and I was just like so cold. My body came so cold, and I was like basically like shaking, shivering. Like couldn't eat, I couldn't do anything. So freaking nervous. And then when I show up to the competition, I get on stage, and then my nerves are gone. But it's like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
An hour before, I'm like a wreck.
Wow.
And then when I'm on stage, I'm like, okay, I made it. I'm here. I'm just gonna do the best I can. Forget about it. And then I did, so I sang my 2 hours, whatever. I was like the first one. I sat down on this chair, and it was like this relief. And I was like, oh, I could just sleep. I don't even care who won. I just want to sleep. And then, you know, later they tell you, and I was like the first one they announced too. They're like, oh, Anthony Leon. I was like, what the heck? I wasn't expecting anything. I was sleeping, probably.
Dang, that's amazing.
But, you know, it did. Nervousness is just a part of your life as a musician. You have to get used to it. It's like a friend. Yeah.
What are the best and worst parts of being a vocalist?
That's a good question. The best part and worst part is also the same thing, because it's like a blessing and a curse. Because when you're on stage, there's something about the voice, or something about just singing in general, is the connection you can make with someone who's listening to you is, I think, unparalleled. Other musicians, other instrumentalists, they can connect with the audience, but they're going through a medium, you know. If you're a pianist, you're communicating your feelings through a big black box, and people have to understand what you want to say through that big black box, you know, through the hammers that hit the strings, you know, all this kind of mechanisms in between your hands and the piano and the audience. And even me, that I play saxophone too. When I'm playing saxophone, I can really feel something. I could really put my heart and soul into like playing, and it'll touch people. But there's another element when you're singing in the voice where it's just you, you know, it's just you. It's whatever you are, everything you are, everything your voice is, your language. That's another thing that other instruments can't do, is language. I could my words could actually touch somebody. And I think that's the biggest blessing. And that's the biggest, like, that's the diamond in singing, is that you can communicate like no other thing. And that's why people, it's so natural. Singing is a part of the human life. You know, we sing happy birthday every time people celebrate their birthdays. We sing when we're sad. We sing when we're happy. We sing in the shower. We see you heard a good song, you just doing it, singing along. You know, in the car, how many people turn on the radio and they sing along? Singing is a part of a human expression, and when someone does it very specially, and you hear it, and you're like, "Wow!" Like it's that communication is special to singing, but at the same time, being so vulnerable is also the curse. Because you're on stage, and literally it's just the most vulnerable. The most vulnerable anybody can be is on stage, in front of everybody, ready to just sing something or just present something, talk or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It just, you just have to open yourself up. And as a singer, you kind of have to get used to that, you know? And some people thrive doing that, you know? But other people, it's hard. But that's probably the biggest blessing and curse all rolled in one. another bad thing is, this is just technical thing, is like, you know, when you're in like a recital, doing a singing recital, you're expected to go up on the stage, everything memorized, including the language, everything pronounced exactly right, every note there, and, you know, and you can't mess up anything. But then violinists can go on stage and they have music and they have a stand and they can read music. But if a singer is reading from a stand, it's like, oh God, he doesn't know his stuff, you know?
Wow,
so it's like a double standard there that kind of mad about, but whatever, we can fix that.
Do you see a future for yourself within singing?
Yeah. I mean, I hope to, after this, I hope to apply for graduate school conservatories, you know, all across the country, and hopefully get a master's degree. Go to like, been looking at ones like, you know, like Yale School of Music or Juilliard or whatever, you know, all those big names, you know, so fancy. Ooh la la. But, you know, just to get some good training and get, you know, a master's degree. And then after that, you know, it's hitting the stages, you know, doing big, big time competitions. Mm-hmm. And I would love to record one day and be on stage in opera and, why Broadway? Why not? I mean, I like all kinds of music, so I like to fuse a lot of my different backgrounds. And why not? You know, wherever God leads. But I know that first I have to just develop my talent as far as I can take it.
Mm. Is there a piece of advice that stayed with you when you were in the process of becoming who you are today with singing? Is there anything particular that stuck with you?
One of the best pieces of advice that I received was, I think, from my dad, who said that you never know who's going to be listening. You never know who's going to be the audience. Doesn't matter if there's 3 people there. Doesn't matter if there's 3,000 people there. You never know. You have to perform the best every time. Every time you perform has to be the best time you perform, because you never know. And I found that to be true. I mean, I was at a house party, and I was singing there. They invited me to sing. It was this dinner party that they had. There was maybe like 15, 20 people there. I mean, maybe like 15 people or something, like, you know, a little crowd. And I thought I sang really well, and, you know, I didn't think much of it. But one of the people there happened to be in the board of the Redlands Symphony, and he recorded me singing, and he had a couple of videos of me singing. And he sent those videos to the director of the Redlands Symphony, who is Ransom Wilson, who happens to be one of the greatest flute players in the world and is faculty at Yale School of Music. He saw my videos. He was impressed, and he sent them to the Yale School of Music opera director, who's Doris Yara Cross. He sent it to her. She saw the videos, and then they started like emailing me. I got an email first from Ransom, from Jim, and then pretty soon I was talking to the Yale School of Music opera director, and then they're wondering if I could, you know, go study there. And they emailed me to go study there. When does that happen? It's a hookup from heaven, you know?
Yeah, that's intense.
I mean, I'm not saying this story to like toot my own horn, you know, but I'm just saying that you never know.
Right.
You know, you absolutely never know. Anything could come out of anything. And that's how God works, in such weird, mysterious ways, you know? I mean, I don't deserve any of that. I don't deserve any of that. I don't even know where that would come from, but it happened, you know? Mm. So you never know. And that's something that you can apply to life too, you know? You always have to be on your game. You have to be always a good person. You always have to treat people well. You always have to be nice, be courteous, have a smile. This is, you know, this world, this life in this world is too little to, you know, not be like that all the time, because you never know. You never know whose life you could help. You never know whose day you could make. You never know what could come at you from being, you know, on your toes. So,
all right. So we're going to do something new on this episode. We're going to talk. We're going to, I'm just going to shoot you some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll get people to know you a little bit better.
All right, sweet.
So first
I'm
one.
Scared. All right.
Are you a introvert or extrovert?
I think most people would think that I'm like really extroverted because of all this performing and stuff. Maybe because of all the performing and extroverted things I do.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go out and with friends and stuff like that all the time. But I also have my introverted side. I need like some time alone to just, you know, meditate and and absorb the aura of the universe and and think about just a bunch of random or nothing at all. Yeah. I love to be in my nothing box and just stay in there and just be dead as like
So what's the last awkward situation you've been in?
The last awkward situation I've been in. Oh gosh. We were in this music project thing and with all these people and we did like an okay job, but like they weren't that prepared for the recording session. Mm. A lot of us weren't that prepared for the recording session. And so like yesterday they brought in the director of, and the guy who wrote the arrangement, and he comes in and he was like, I was furious at the recording session because none of you were prepared and all this. And he's just totally shredded us apart. We were just sitting there like, oh God, what do we say? I don't know. That was a little awkward. Like, you know, that silence afterwards, he was done and just like, any questions? I was like, cricket.
Oh, wow.
Cricket. That was pretty awkward.
What is your jam right now?
My jam right now?
Yeah.
Ooh. The last thing I jammed out into the car was this morning. I was playing, I love salsa music.
Okay.
My dad is Cuban. My mom is Colombian. So I grew up listening to Marc Anthony and all these like, and like Ricky Martin and all these like salseros, you know? And I was in my car, I was playing Ricky Martin. I mean, not Ricky Martin, and Marc Anthony, Aguanile from the movie El Cantante. Mm. And also I was listening to a new record by, I forgot his name now. Gosh, but it was really good. It's awesome music.
What's your wallpaper on your phone, if you don't mind sharing?
Oh, shoot. My wallpaper? Well, I think on the inside it's really basic. But like on the outside, it's just, it's of, right now there's like stuff on it. Mm-hmm. But it's of Florida.
Florida.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Last time I was there. It's like a...
You got a shot?
It's like a...
Well, that's awesome.
It's like the canal, you know? You can make it with this new iPhone 10. You can make it move. You can just like, so cool.
What's the last thing you Googled?
The last thing I Googled. What was the last thing I Googled? Can I check?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know what the last thing I Googled was. Oh, okay. The last thing I Googled was Ricardo Muti. I don't know if you guys know who that is, or if anyone doesn't know who that is, or if you know, but he's the current conductor of the Chicago Symphony.
Oh, wow.
And he's at the Chicago Symphony. He's been at the Chicago Symphony for like 6 years, but before that, he was at Teatro alla Scala in Milan for 20 years, and that's like the greatest opera house in the world. So he's like a legend, to say the least. Yeah, he's like one of the best of all time, and I was like looking him up.
Scrabble or charades?
Charades, dude.
That's awesome.
Definitely. I'm all about that. Improv acting life. I love that.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate. That's too basic, bro.
Yeah. One word that you're guilty of saying too often.
Oh. I think I say like, really? Or yeah?
Mm.
A lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like... I'm like in a conversation. I'm like, oh yeah. Oh really? Really? Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh shoot, I gotta stop saying that.
Who's the last person you called or texted? Or who's the last person that called or texted you?
Oh.
Sorry though.
I've just been texting Jonathan Momora.
Okay.
Who graduated last year
Shout out to Jonathan.
I know. Shout out to Jonathan Momora. He's unbelievable pianist who right now is at Juilliard, nonetheless, you know, and in New York City, killing the game. He's back now just for a couple of weeks, so we're going to get some lunch. But
other than singing, what would be your hobby?
Oh, God. You know, I was thinking about that the other day because I was like, what would I be without music? Am I anything else besides a musician? But I don't know. I love history. I love language. You know, I might have been an actor, maybe.
I can see that.
I mean, I might still be an actor, who knows?
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know, something like that. Something still creative, but I love language. I love like history. I love like drama, all that stuff.
Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles. I'm not about the pancake too much. Not that I don't like pancakes, but
yeah.
Why would you have a pancake if you had a waffle?
Yeah. Winter or summer?
Summer, dude. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. I would, in the winter, I shrivel up and die. I'm like a lizard. I need the sun, bro. Yeah, otherwise, yeah. I'm just like, oh, right now I'm suffering. It's not even that cold outside. How cold is it outside? It's like, is it 50s or something like that? I'm like freezing my buns off. Yeah.
Are you a night owl or a early bird?
I don't remember the last time I went to bed before midnight.
Yeah?
I don't remember the last time. I mean, I don't know if it's ever happened. I'm such a night owl. I mean, the mornings, I'm like Dracula in the morning. Yeah, I get up, I'm like, shut the windows. The sun's burning. But yeah, this quarter I had to get used to getting early though, because I had a 7 a.m. class.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God almighty.
That's intense.
Yeah, pray for me.
What's your favorite snack?
What is my favorite snack? You know, I love going to Eagle's Nest and getting those Maui onion chips. Those are good. I love those Maui. I'll get those every time. I'm upset when they don't have them. Sometimes they don't have them.
Oh, man.
But I also love cookies.
I think we'll wrap it up here. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about or say to the audience that is listening, the campus?
Well, I mean, thanks. If you've listened this far, thanks for wanting to listen to my voice. I mean, I appreciate it. I can barely even listen to myself talk, but if you listen to this whole thing, thank you. And also, keep an ear and an eye out. We're always doing things at the music department,
Sure.
We got a bunch of things going on. I think April 22nd is alumni homecoming weekend. I also won the concerto competition recently that we had here at school. So thank God I was fortunate for that. And I'm going to be performing because I won the competition on April 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
In the evening, I think it's a Sunday. So come out to that. I'm going to be full orchestra and we're doing Beethoven's Nine. And there's a bunch of crazy, crazy cool things. And so just keep your ears and eyes out. And yeah, don't stop believing in your dreams.
I feel it.
I know it's so corny, but dreams do come true.
That's
it really is true. Yeah. So,
if people that are listening want to, how can they get connected with you? Do you have a website? Do you have social media?
You know what? I just opened up my website few weeks ago. You can go AnthonyLeonTenor.com, and that's me. Also, I just opened up a Facebook page, Anthony Leon. And on Instagram, you can find me, Anthony Leon, too. Just keep updated with me. I'm going to be posting a bunch of stuff. I'm really terrible at social media, but I'm going to learn. And hopefully put some videos up and some pictures. And you can see my life. You know, sometimes it's pretty interesting when I get to go out and do crazy cool concerts and stuff. Like meet crazy people and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, there you guys have it. Thank you for stopping by. I think it was awesome.
Buddy, it was a pleasure, man. It was a pleasure.
Hey guys, thank you for checking out this episode of the Criterion Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and gained a lot of value from it. Now, please go out and share this. If you really found value from it, send it to a classmate or two and go over to Instagram and follow us at Criterion Now.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.